This morning we want to go a little bit further in looking at the various things that cause us resistance, particularly when we're sharing our faith. But we've seen that it could be sharing anything that's important to you, and you'll find some resistance come up within your own self, thinking about how will this person react. And there's various reactions that we're looking at. And one of the things that we have been really diving into a little more deeply is that when you feel resistance come up in your own heart when you're sharing something, it is that resistance which is the doorway for the Spirit of God to be working within you. That's what that's about. One of the things that I've found over the years is that when there's some conflict, and I, not that that happens much in a church or anything like that, but when there's, on that rare occasion when that happens, there's comes within me a set of reactions. And if I pay attention to the Spirit of God, which is sometimes just hard for me to do, particularly if there's a set of reactions rolling around within me, like my prayer would be, just get them, God. Just, would that be all right? Just get them. usually that set of reactions, when I just say, well, God, what do you want to tell me? It has nothing to do with the content of the reaction, but something to do with about what's going on in my own soul. And there's some item or step of me becoming more like Jesus that he is using that occasion to have me go take that step forward in. And last week, you recall, I brought this chest here, and we made the analogy that the Christian faith is like this chest of drawers, and when you come to Jesus, if you like that term, the light shines on the whole chest of drawers. That's your whole life. And then the rest of your Christian life is one drawer opening and the light shining in there. And then another drawer opening and the light shining in there. And, you know, for this chest of drawers here that you see in front of us, that's nothing. For us, when the drawer is pulled out of our soul, that's very painful. There's something going on that we just don't want to have happening. And the drawer will come out and the light will shine. The whole process can be very challenging and deep. And in fact, the biblical term is crucified, which is the pattern of the Christian life. Crucifixion before resurrection. And as we've mentioned from time to time, that's what it means to die to yourself. It is not where you have an annoying person that's around you all the time and that you're cross to bear. Just don't stop looking at each other here. Come on. You're taking up your cross daily means you die to something so that it can be raised to new life. And that's what this process is. And there's a couple of pictures of it already. One of the ways of thinking about dying to yourself is a drawer is pulled out of your soul so the light of the glory of God and the mercy of God can shine in there. Okay, everybody all right? All right, excellent. Then let's try to move into what we want to look at today, which is the thought that you're talking with someone about your faith or something else important, but, you know, since it's the church and all that, we'll just say the faith, you're sharing your faith, and that person says to you, my religion is private. Very thick wall comes up, barbed wire on the top, can't get through anywhere. That's what it feels like. What goes on inside at that point for me, and I suspect probably for you, is that my desire to fit in with that person is now challenged. I want to keep fitting in with them. They're my friend. You know, they say, this is private. I can't violate that and still fit in with them. At least that's the logical pattern of my thinking. So I back off and I said, oh, okay, very, very good, fine. nice, see you later, whatever it may be. What we see in the gospel reading today is that when a private matter becomes public, it means it has become personal. Personal and private are two different things. And when you have something that's personal, it is obvious and it shows. When this mother had her son given back to her, raised from the dead and given back to her, that was a very personal matter. It was also public. And it would have remained personal and public. I mean, I don't know about you, but if one of your children died and you're taking them on the way to be buried, and then Jesus raises them from the dead, are you going to say, oh, no, that's private? Private. We're not going to go there. No, it's personal. It's personal. And that's what goes on. And what is going on with the one that you may be sharing with when you said, would you like to come to church with me or Bible study or have a prayer, whatever it may be? And they say, no, it's private. You are actually inviting that person to make something personal. And in that way, it shows. Now, this can be very challenging for another reason as well, and it's a little more of a foundational reason. And we will often find ourselves unconsciously holding on to a belief that actually moves us, actually almost pushes us to keep our religion private. And it's this. One of the reasons that your friend will tell you my religion is private is because they have a picture of God in which God is out there and he has set the world and the universe in motion and then stepped back and let natural laws just carry things along. And if you get in trouble, what's happened is you've probably violated one of the natural laws, and God may or may not do anything about it, but if you ask, pray hard enough, God might respond. That is a widely held belief system. And when you have that picture of God, you want things to be private. One of the reasons you want things to be private is that if you get in trouble, you need something beyond yourself. You don't want anybody to know. I mean, we're Americans, most of us. I'm crying out loud. And those of us who are not have the stiff upper lip, and we just don't want anybody to know anyway. So that keeps us private. We don't want to share with anybody that we need anything, especially God, who's just looking to see if we're going to step out of line anyway. We've talked about this a little bit in the past. Does anybody remember what that belief system is called? Yes, God is correct. Right. No, that is basic deism. It's a deistic view of God, a deistic view of the universe. He's out there. He's kind of like the great watchmaker and set the watch ticking and step back and let it go. Many people hold that. Even people who have been in church for years and years and years that hold that deeply. Maybe not you and me, but you know people who do that. In fact, one of the reasons that there's a lot of people who step back from church, a lot of the children we raise step back from church, one of the reasons is that. And our system can sometimes be called moralistic, therapeutic deism. You do the right thing, you come to church to feel good, and God won't bother you. Anybody uncomfortable yet? I can keep going with this. I'm just, right. I need you to get a little bit shaky here. Right? All right. So what happens is that we see that belief system in our friend. We may have bought into it more deeply than we realize, and we want to step back from sharing anything that's important with us because we don't want to change that belief within ourselves either. You remember Penn and Teller? Which one's the guy that talks? Penn, that's Penn. Thank you. All right. John, I just should ask you ahead of time, right? Okay, right. Yeah. I saw him give a brief talk once. Penn gave a brief talk, very serious, it wasn't comedy, in which he said, I don't understand why I don't have a stream of Christians knocking on my door, calling me up, sending me messages, if they really believe what they say. Why do they just let me go? Why do they let me slide? Why aren't they after me all the time? Now, of course, Penn, you know, he's got that personality where he's not letting anybody slide off of anything. So he's implying that, and it's not a guilt button. What it is this. If a friend says to you, my religion is private, and you feel resistance come up, one of the things to ask Jesus is this. Have I really put my faith in you? Do I really want to get into the place, Jesus, where I start following you and the only way on is your power and not mine? Am I really living a life in which your Holy Spirit is guiding me all the way? That's a good daily question where you die to yourself every day. One of the chief temptations of the church is to do it ourselves. Come up with our plan, start working it, and hope God blesses it. I do that all the time. All the time. I mean, I have a seminary degree, for crying out loud. I have a doctor of ministry from Fuller Seminary. I got 3.9 grade point average. I got notebooks all over the place. I can get a plan. I can pull part of a plan from here, one from here, weave it all together. I do that all the time. And what brings a person who says, my religion is private, into a personal religion. It's where I know, believe, and my life says, God is with us. When I feel that resistance come up, it's because I want to do so many things my own way, and the work, if God's with me or not, doesn't matter. And what God is inviting me to is a life where every step matters, if He's with us or not. And that's what He proclaimed here in this miracle with the woman who got her son back from the dead. Jesus came and did what only God can do. And not only did He give this dead man life, the woman was saved from a life of desperate poverty from that day on. She was a widow. Her son would have been the only means of income that she had. And she would have been in very, very bad straits after that. Jesus supplied what only God can supply.
for both of his people. And that's what he'll do with you and me. He'll bring us into that position all the time. Always. And he will challenge us always. Not ask if it's all right. Would you mind thinking about this? He'll just challenge us always. That one of the great Christian writers of the previous century, G.K. Chesterton, said that it's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. Hasn't been tried. Not for you and me, of course. But in general. When you ask a friend, would you come to church with me? Is there something about that interchange in which God is present? So that there's something which says God is with us. Just as these people said when they saw this young man raised from the dead. All right, as we have done these past few weeks, I do want to challenge you to do a couple of things this week. But before that, I want to see, do you have any questions, maybe some comments about these ideas this morning?
My comment is that I think the problem is they are totally mature themselves.
Yeah. Right.
But it's not necessarily that they don't feel, they don't have a spark of religion.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Joan is saying if somebody says it's private, it means they're just not sure of exactly what they believe. And that's fine. Even if they are sure, they're just, for whatever reason they say it's private, it's not always an excellent idea to just keep pushing at that moment. You know something's going on, you might just start praying, Lord, in this person's life, in our relationship, would you do something that it'll only work if you're there? I'll be happy to join in with that, whatever it is. That would be a way to pray about that. Excellent point. Bobby. That's an excellent example. Thanks for sharing that too. That's very, very powerful. Yeah. And it often when there's a loved one who dies, particularly a very difficult death like that, and several of us have had that very recently, then you can start saying, well, where was God? He must be out there. He must not care. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And for you to just go ahead and hold on to faith anyway, that was a gift of the Spirit to you. You took it. That's excellent. You started living a life in which only God was able to do that with you. And that's, by the way, you remember my friend from the gym who both parents died at different times from cancer, and the priest said, well, they're just being tested, and that was it. And he told me, you know, I hate the church, John. That's right. And he found out I was a pastor. And he said, he responded to the newsletter I sent this week, and he says, you know, John, you will always be my minister. Isn't that incredible? I think it was 8 years, but that's one more step. One more step. Anne, yes. Excellent, excellent illustration. That's exactly right. The way you respond to that person, naturally they put up another wall.
by the presence of the Spirit in your life and the gift of God, you still remain open the way God does with you when you shut Him out. Yeah. Still open. Excellent. Richard.
I'm going to share something that's just kind of a quick one. It's kind of like my experience.
Okay. We have been praying for you.
That's right. I used to be told that I wouldn't say it. I'm too strong. So I think we've got to learn where we're going. And what I was doing, I was not asking Christ to tell me where to go. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
More me.
Yeah.
But I think that was like my challenge.
Sure. The fullness of who you are comes out when you're completely connected to Christ. And your uniqueness will always be there magnified when you're connected to Christ and following Him. It's not that it's you or Jesus. It's you and Jesus is what really bears the fruit. Yeah. Right. Right. Sure. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, excellent. Danielle. Yeah. Well, yeah, excellent. Thank you, Danielle. That's great. Although we'd still like you to just do right things, if that's okay. That's right. But thank you for sharing. All right. Hey, with that excellent thought, let's move on to the creed. Let's stand and confess our faith in Jesus.